How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays, 6 p.m. with me. Boy, a lot going on in professional wrestling. AEW ran a house show, did better than expected. We're going to talk about that. It looked pretty cool. Like, I saw some of the photos, and I was like, it's, like, smoky and dimly lit. I'm like, I don't know how great it looked in the building, but, like, the pictures was like, okay, this is cool. I don't know if it was by design to make it look like that or just a building, but I was like, okay, I could get behind this. I wouldn't mind going to a show. Pretty interesting. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens hug it out on SmackDown. Very excited for this. They finally pulled the trigger on it, which is perfect timing. Cody played a part in this. You know, exactly how we said, you know, this is WWE's plan of making everything okay, which it will be. Very well done here with Kevin Owens and Sami building, you know, building the story of their relationship over the last 20 something years. And now it's coming down to this. The Four Pillars program has started on Dynamite. I very much like Dynamite this week. Thought it was a very fun show. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Bar Mitzvah. I was trying to figure out how this would have been, what, like my 20th attended Bar Mitzvah at this point in my life. So many of these I've seen. Very well done. And I want to talk about my experience at MSG last weekend. I went to the house show they ran at the Garden on Sunday with my kids. It was their first wrestling show, and they had a blast. I want to talk about that, obviously, because you know what? A lot of you guys have kids. A lot of you guys are introducing wrestling to your kids, so I want to share my experience. We have all this and a lot more coming up here on Sports Byline, Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition here on Sports Byline. I want to go into all the news, but I want to talk about it. A lot of people were asking me about what it was like going to the Garden for a house show. Man, it's been years since I went to a house show. And that was always the thing I did with my dad and my uncle. We'd go to house shows. You know, they would sneak me in the Garden. I got a great story about getting front row tickets to a show at the Nassau Coliseum for SmackDown. It was sometime in... you know what it was? It was the show where Draws broke his neck. I was at that show. It was front row. And... like, what a crazy experience witnessing it. It was terrible. But my uncle would, like, sneak us in. He had, like a vest and that said staff, and he would bring us in the building. He would start screaming at people. So I didn't have to do that with my kids, luckily. I had an invite, and somebody reached out to me, and they said, hey, listen, I know you got smaller kids. You want to do a VIP experience with the kids where they can meet the wrestlers? And my kids have gotten so into wrestling now, which I absolutely love. If you have kids and you love this stuff, and then, you know, your son or your daughter or both come to you and they're like, hey, you know, I kind of like this. It gives you more excitement. Like, I'm watching way more WWE now because that's what they're consuming. So we went to the Garden and we did this cool thing, and they got to meet Cody and they got to meet Bayley and Dakota Kai and EO. Like, they had a blast, and the show was fantastic too. But here's the fascinating part of this. Okay. And this is the conversation. It is very different when you're watching on TV, you go into a TV taping, and you go to a house show. This building was all kids. It was families and kids. It was a packed building. At least 10,000 people were in there. I can't imagine it was under 10. I don't have the exact number, but I would say it was probably over 10,000 people in the building. You know, 7 o'clock start on a Sunday, all families, all kids. And just gauging the reaction to people was fascinating, right? Because we view wrestling very differently than a 6 or 7 or 8 year old does. I'm going to blow your mind as to who was the most over on this card. Obviously, Cody and Sammy. Let's take them and put them on the side. MG, our producer. Who do you think was the most over on this card? One of the biggest reactions.
I'm going to say, well, I know the answer, but...
Oh, yeah, you know the answer. Okay, I think I told you
that. I know
the
answer, yeah. But it might be somebody from the West Coast.
LA Knight, dude. LA Knight got... And all these kids, so when we were in line, my son loved... he's my kid, so he'll talk to everybody, right? And he's talking to all these other kids. Who are you here to see? Obviously, there was a ton of Bray Wyatt. Cody, obviously, Sammy. But the name I heard, the two top names that I heard was Bray Wyatt and LA Knight. I don't know. Maybe it's like some sort of memory that's passed down through generations of us liking Austin, and he's a little Austin-esque with his promos. Listen, I enjoy LA Knight. I have nothing. He should be doing a lot more. But I was shocked to see like 7-8-year-olds. They're like, oh yeah, LA Knight, that's the dude. Bray Wyatt, that's the dude, right? Cody obviously came out, you know, also. But very interesting. Just seeing how kids react to this product versus us is very different. And
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But,
interrupt me.
Was there rumblings or response to Bray Wyatt not being there?
Or did
you not know till later?
So I knew he wasn't going to be there, but I don't think, like, I think at that point when people, I looked it up to see what the match was, and there was a Lights Out match scheduled. And then when I looked again, there was a Battle Royal scheduled where LA Knight was in it. So I knew something was up. Maybe the match got canceled, whatever. But, you know, he's not wrestling right now. He's going to be back. He was out with a health concern or however you want to phrase it. But my kids were bummed out that they didn't get to see Bray, but my kids are really into him. You know, he's a spooky guy. He's a lot's going
that
on
entrance.
There.
That entrance, the entrance is made for
absolutely. But you know what? The whole show is made for them. You know how they're working the crowd. It was very different than going to a TV show. And if you got kids, go to a freaking house show and you'll have a blast. You'll have a blast. I paid $36 for a vodka soda, which was unbelievable. MSG prices, dude. You got to pay the union. The unions need their fee. $36 for a Tito's soda. Popcorn, $22.
You guys say air quotes union in New York?
union. Yeah. A little touch of my nose, if anybody knows what that means. dude, it was, you know, say what you want about the WWE product, but you are catering to a very different audience than what AEW is catering to. For me, I think it's very obvious. I genuinely enjoy the AEW product a little bit more because it's more mature, and the style of wrestling that I could get on that show, there's more opportunities for it than there is on WWE, but that doesn't mean that I dislike WWE. I don't like it, you know, I understand the point of it. I felt that I went to Disney on Ice or just a very massive play or some sort of special attraction. That's how I looked at this. I did not look at it like I went to a professional wrestling show. Obviously, there was wrestling in the ring, but there was so much, it just felt different. And I don't know if it's because it's in the garden. I don't know if it's because there were so many kids around. But it was very interesting. It's a very different product. And sometimes we got to separate ourselves from it. And that's kind of what I was leading into here, right? Taking ourselves and our bias and our thoughts out of it and seeing what it is sometimes. And I'm not saying this to be an apologist. I'm just saying this because this is what I accept the product is now. I know I'm not going to get. I will never get to see what Jon Moxley does in AEW in WWE. I'll never get to see that. You'll never get to see what MJF does in WWE on that same level because it's a very different product and they don't do that. However, I don't think, you know, Moxley's wrong and I don't think WWE's wrong. I think it's a very different product. That's my point of view. And I go to a lot of these shows. I said the same thing when I went to SummerSlam in Vegas. I said the same thing when I went to SmackDown at the Garden. It feels different. And it should. So I wanted
that
to touch on.
Is,
yeah, go yeah, ahead.
I was going to say, I'm sorry. The audience, that audience is the reason why they present it the way they do and why they try to get it younger. And,
listen, it's a publicly traded business. They
ages
have
us out.
There's analysis on growth that's submitted to them daily. There's marketing drivers that's submitted. There's so many different variables that come into play before you get to see what you're seeing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the Vince factor, there's the marketing factor, there's Hunter's point of view, there's Bruce, there's Kevin Dunn's production. There's so many different reasons as to what they do and why they do it. And you know what? It's a turnoff for a lot of people, and I totally can understand that. And or to other people, this is a superior product, and I could understand that too. It's whatever you're seeking. But there's so much that goes in with decision-making like this. It's not the old days, you know? And even to think, like, a guy like Stone Cold Steve Austin, could he be in the position he's in, or he was in, if it was today? I don't know. You know, or could he, or would he want to deal with what they deal with? You know, these guys are, they're getting pulled in every direction. It's not like how it used to be where you get in the car, you go from town to town, maybe do an autograph signing and you say, you know, the hell with this, and you go home. Those days are gone. Now you're a major television celebrity. And I think that's the conversation to have. You know, what do you want to do? You know, AEW Dynamite was an unbelievable show. I liked a lot of this show. I liked almost everything on the show this week, which we're going to go into after the break. MJF's rebar mitzvah. There was your entertainment portion. You got the Four Pillars promo, which is setting up the future of the company. You had that tag match with Mox. I mean, we're going to go into this, but very such different products. And all I'm saying is sometimes step back and enjoy what you enjoy. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. You know, I had Billy Corgan on Mad Men. And we were just talking about, you know, his presentation and what it is. And what a unique presentation, right? What a cool concept. But it's still not on TV. You know, there's a lot of parts that go in here. When we get back from break, we're going to talk about AEW Dynamite. We're going to talk about SmackDown, House Rules, the success of House Rules, and what they could do different. And a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition here on Sports Byline. AEW Dynamite was a fun show. Very much like the show. You know, this was one of those weird moments where I watched it in pieces. I didn't watch it straight, like straight ahead. I came home, I watched like the first quarter of the show. The next morning I watched like the majority of it. And then I rewatched the House of Black, Jericho Appreciation Society, and the Elite match the following day. I thought this was a lot of fun, a lot of good stuff on the show. Jeff Jarrett, my all-time favorite now. I want him winning all the titles. Give him the international title. Give him the world title. Give him the trios title. Just I want him holding everything at this point because I think it's absurd. I think it's hysterical. But the show started with MJF's rebar mitzvah, but it led into something bigger, and it was the Four Pillars promo where you had Jungle Boy, you had Sammy Guevara, you had MJF, and you had Darby all in the ring next to each pillar, and they just cut a promo on each other. And, you know, they were essentially saying, like, these guys are the future of the company. They're the originals, and they want the gold. What'd you make of that, MG?
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely thought this was awesome, like, as far as how... Because I didn't expect it. When they first came out, when the thing started, I goes, man, this feels WWE. It really does. And the way it was presented. And then, yeah. And I goes, this is so MJF. And then all of a sudden, when they all started coming out, I was, oh my God, they're going to do this.
I hope they
and
do.
We're going to get, yeah. They just offered up a year's worth of different programs between those four.
But here's the thing. They got to make the interest level high on this, right?
Yes.
They need to make it feel more important. And this is the thing about Max, you know, when should he lose that title?
I think he can hold it for a long time now.
Well, then what do you do? What do you do with your main event picture? What do you do with your title picture? What do you do with Kenny? What do you do with all these guys? You know, you have some top tier talent there that you don't want to run through him, but do you just have him beat each of those pillars?
You could, and then they get rematches down the road.
And then they get rematches. Yeah, so you could do a four-way at the next show, and he wins, and then you could set up their programs with each other, and then you could work
singles,
something else.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that they could do here, which is nice, because I want to see Jungle Boy elevated. I want to see Sammy elevated, and I want to see Darby do something again.
Not only do you want, they need to. If they want, for the future of the company, they really need to get those guys going and get them to another level.
And you know what's crazy? Help. Think about how many other people they have that they need to get to that level. Mm-hmm. Think about how deep that roster is with young talent, really good talent. Roosh, right? Great example. We were talking about this before we went on the air. You know, this Roosh had such hype behind him, and I'm not saying that he's not worth it at all. I think he's an unbelievable talent. I think you could do so much with him. He could be a big time player, but there's so much happening in that company where he's just on the sidelines. You know, a guy like Buddy Matthews, he should be in a single spot. Malachi Black, I get it. This trio stuff is cool. I like it, but Malachi's a guy. He's not a trios guy. He's a former NXT champion. This guy was on his way to the top in WWE, you know, and he's stuck in these trio situations. Same thing with Kenny. But now that's coming to an end, which is interesting. I thought the Four Pillars stuff was great. Then it followed into Jon Moxley, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta against Hangman, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson. This was a fun match. That triple pile driver on the outside was a nice spot. I very much liked it.
Yeah.
Jade came out. Defeated Nicole Matthews to retain the TBS title. We also see Sotaya Valkyrie come in. Now here is the match for me. Orange Cassidy defeated Jeff Jarrett. Very upset by this. To hold on to the AEW International Champion. I need this match again. Jeff Jarrett doing the Fargo strut in the beginning of his match is just, you know, there's something to be said about the bizarre teaming of Orange Cassidy and Jeff Jarrett in a singles match for a title. I did not have that on my bingo card. Did you?
No. But it just worked. Jarrett is such a professional. You forget how good that guy is.
You know, I don't think people even knew how good he is. A lot of the Jeff Jarrett stuff has been overshadowed by WCW's bizarre booking at the end of that company, TNA and Impact, and you know, his reign of terror. It's a lot of it got mucked as far as realizing how great Jeff Jarrett is. Listen, man, he's fantastic. He's the last of that generation, and I think this is great. Do I want to see Jeff Jarrett have a title? No, not really. But you could do something cool with him where it elevates somebody else and have him in an interesting program. I think it's fun. Why wouldn't you? Following this match, you had the Outcasts come out. And Paige got in some... Paige, I'm so sorry. Saraya got in... Saraya. I'm going to do this Saraya. Every week. Saraya.
It's Saraya.
It's Saraya. Yes. Saraya. She used a very naughty word. And
she did.
It was a little daunting. When I heard it,
did she say that?
I actually rewound it because I was like, oh, maybe it's the accent. Maybe she said something else. You know, maybe I misheard. I'm a dumb American. You know, maybe I misheard it. The accent got in the way. Oh, no, she said it.
And then immediately gave up the mic.
And then she gave the mic up. Yeah. I'm so angry. You talked to Tony. Very cool. Now let's talk about this. The House of Black match. House of Black defeated the Elite and Jericho Appreciation Society. What a great ovation for Kenny and Chris Jericho. They're both in Winnipeg natives. The story was that they were teasing the fight between them, and it got broken up multiple times until the end. When they cleaned house, and then they're like, yep, let's go, and they just went at it. Very, very cool. You know, I hope the crowd ate it up. You know, but like, what a nice treat to get. You know, if you're from the area, you got to see this. Don Callis was on commentary. You know, very unique and very cool. They did not win. The House of Black won. And this seems to be ending the Elite Trios push.
I don't know, though. That face-off at the end made you think that maybe we're getting...
You might get one more.
Combat Club in the Elite.
You'll get that, but eventually you're going to have to make these guys back into the divisions where they were. Kenny has to go in the singles division, which we're going to see him and Vikingo.
Yes. That's going to be a match.
If anybody hasn't
seen that guy, wrestle, you're in for a treat come Wednesday.
He's 20-something years old. He's unbelievable. And this match was supposed to happen a while ago, and it didn't. I forgot what was the reason. Was it politics or injury?
It was his injury. It was supposed to happen in AAA because Kenny held the title, and Vikingo was slated to take it, and that match never happened. They ended up stripping Kenny of the title and putting it down. If I do recall, I'm sure people will correct me.
Well, it looks like Conan and Tony Khan had a meeting to kind of work their relationship out again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe this leads to Forbidden Door in some capacity.
That'd be cool. Where you could do something. Promotion. That's different. I've never heard anybody bring that up.
But, you know, they do want to work together. They did have a sit-down recently or a conversation recently to kind of figure this out. I think this is very cool. Listen, he's a young talent. He's 25 years old. He's born in 97. He debuted 10 years ago. This guy's been, you know, he's very, very good. Might as well use him. I saw some criticism, though. I saw some criticism, people saying that they should have kind of told you the story of who he was, but he got a video package.
Yeah. Yeah, they do that. They and I think that's their criticism, is that the only criticism they get usually is people saying that you don't introduce these guys on TV and you expect your fan base to know. But I think a lot of their fan base does know. And word of mouth works.
I mean, so, how are you gonna do a video package for Nick Gage? I'm just saying, like a guy that you know, what are the people?
Right. But let's face it, Andrew. You're as much as you're looking forward to the Kenny versus Vikingo match. I know the match you're really looking forward to on Dynamite.
What is that?
Hook versus Stokely Hathaway.
Oh yeah, that's the match for me. That's the match for me. That's the other match that's announced. And a no DQ match for next week.
Which I think is just going to be a hoot. It's going to be something. They usually do fun. When they try to do comedy, they actually pull it off better than... It's not hokey like WWE.
Well, we saw Hook and Ethan Page at AEW House Rules that did over 3,200 people. Very successful house show. I'll touch on this after the break a little bit. Well, and then we'll go into SmackDown. But... you know, there was a lot of fear as far as how this is going to sell. They're in a small market in Ohio. There was no real major, major match for this. I mean, you have John Moxley and Claudio against Lee Moriarty and Big Bill. You know, you're in a smaller market. I think the anticipation for ticket sales was not that high, but they were 92% full. That building was sold out. I think they were shy of like a couple hundred tickets, which for a house show to do that, I think that's pretty cool. Good for them. I mean, it just shows you that there's interest in certain markets. I think that West Coast tour kind of hurt them a little bit, you know, later got with that tour. They've also picked some buildings that really haven't been able to sell a lot of tickets for. It could be the building itself. It could be the location. It could be that they revisited. So it's good to see that they had the success here. And in Winnipeg, they did well.
I think the biggest part for that is spreading it around so that each market doesn't get saturated with shows. You know, if you're running once, if they're 6 months apart at a certain market, that works. You know, there's going to be interest.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to the UBS show, which I haven't gone to AEW since September. So I'll be at that UBS show. In a couple of weeks here. It's catching up. Guys, when we get back from our break, we're going to talk about AEW House Rules and some of the matches there. I want to talk about SmackDown and that awesome Sami Zayn moment. Very, very cool show. When we get back, and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. AEW House Rules was last night. Ethan Page defeated Sean Dean after a quick win. Hook came out, defeated Ethan Page. You had Jeff Jarrett defeating Brian Pillman Jr. What a weird match, huh? Never thought I'd say that. At a house show in Ohio. It's going to be a house show in Ohio where Jeff Jarrett is defeating Brian Pillman Jr. Ruby Soho defeated Hollywood Haley. Okay. AEW owner Tony Khan came out for a quick promo and thanked everybody. AEW International Champion Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin defeated The Butcher and The Blade. QT Marshall defeated Pat Buck. Pat's from my neighborhood, I think. Isn't he? MJ, do you know this?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. He might be. I know he's a promoter in that.
Yeah,
I think
he's
of those
from
promotions
Queens.
In that area.
Yeah, he's from Queens. I wonder where. Is he from Bayside? I'll find out. Somebody told me he's from my neighborhood. I'll take it. He wrestled. It was like, I guess it was the front of house. It was all the guys in the back. The back of house was wrestling on this card. QT Marshall defeated Pat Buck after his distraction. This was Buck's first match in that company. Britt Baker defeated Anna Jay. TNT champion Hobbs, powerhouse Hobbs, defeated Christopher Daniels. All right, that's a cool matchup. I'd want to see that. And John Moxley and ROH champion Claudio Castagnoli defeated the firm's Lee Moriarty and Big Bill. They need to change that. Another guy from my neighborhood, Big Bill.
You hate that name, don't you?
You know, you have a 7-foot guy. I would rather just call him by his name. You know, but is Big Sexy Kevin Nash a cool name? I mean, he is Big Sexy.
It was in the 90s.
It was in the 90s. You know what? Right. Big Sexy Bill. That should be his name from now on. Big Sexy Bill. That's it. That's the name. I christened it. I'm done. This is his new name. Big Sexy Bill. That's his name. We're just going backwards. He should come out with the straps, you know, and just pull them down. He do the whole thing.
Kevin Nash chaps that he
do
wore,
the hair but... flip. Do that cool hair flip. Fantastic stuff. Dude, I wouldn't mind going. You know, for me, a house show, like, I went to all those cool Evolve shows, and I don't talk about it as much, but it really was, like, part of my, like, whole wrestling renaissance again in, like, 2016, where I, like, got deep, deep, deep into it again, and I was going to more shows and everything. They were awesome. You would see these really bizarre matchups. Ethan Page is a guy that was there. Ricochet was there. Johnny Gargano was, I mean, you know, before Velveteen became a total creep. And did what he did allegedly. He was there and he got one of the biggest reactions I've ever heard. You know, and you would not imagine that, and you know, that promotion was like the wrestler's promotion. It's a lot of great wrestling. Austin Theory came out of there. So a lot of cool stuff came out of there. Like, this is awesome to see. Like, if you gave me this as like a local show, I would go to it. Is it the main? Am I going to get a big main event match? I think they're going to have to. If they're going to tour regularly, they're going to have to add a lot better matches. But doing cool stuff like this, seeing like Pat Buck Russell. All right, cool. I get behind it. SmackDown. I thought this was a very good SmackDown. They had a lot of cool moments here. Cody comes out. He starts a segment. He essentially, MG, he tries to make Sammy and Kevin see eye to eye, right?
More or less, he was trying to play mediator, and and Kevin was not having it at first. He didn't want anything to do with it, and that led to him walking out and Cody going, "Well, I tried," and then
well,
it led to that.
You can't boo me now. I tried.
I think what they're trying to do is make sure that Cody's involved in this and make Cody the good guy, the one that got them back together, ensuring the fans are not going to turn on him at any point because they wanted Sammy.
You know what we do need? We need a 3-on-3 to happen, okay?
I don't know if it's going to happen, Andrew.
I'm
going to
tell
really
you how to do it.
Enough time.
I'm going to tell you. You do ahead. A 3-up mega main event. Sammy, Kevin, Cody versus the Usos and Roman.
I mean,
they do the whole thing.
Match.
They build up the whole paper. You have two options here. One, Cody and Roman never touch in that match. Or two, Roman's like, I'm not wasting my time with this.
You know
he sent Solo Sikoa to do it.
That could be the Backlash main event. That very well could be.
That could be the Backlash main event too. Yeah, there's a lot that they could do here. I just think, you know, they need to get back. The next few weeks are very important for this program. Not
well,
saying
that
it's going to be a failure. I just think that the longevity of this Cody run and what they do afterwards is going to really matter. I want him to have this very, very strong main event run as being this defending champion, seeing the title on TV every week. You could go back to that, which is nice.
The big part of that whole promo was after in the parking lot, and Did you like the car that Kevin Owens was driving?
He had a green Challenger rental, right? Is that what he had? It was a green Dodge Challenger. Yeah.
That's a statement piece. It kind of stood out.
Yeah, it did stand out. What they did, there was an outdoor segment where they were like in the production area and Kevin's leaving. He's getting in the car and Sammy runs and he's like, listen, dude, I love you. I don't want to hurt you. And Kevin's like resisting and drives off. Very cool.
It was like then I knew they were going to do the hug at the end of the show.
Yeah.
The fans wanted it so bad.
So bad. So bad. You got the mixed tag. Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley defeated Santos Escobar and Zelina Vega. Rhea's so freaking impressive.
That was good. Zelina Vega came off really well in that, too. I think I tweeted out this match, surprisingly, was better than I thought it should have been.
Yeah. So you got the Rey Mysterio-Dominic Mysterio confrontation. Where Ray's like, dude, I'm not gonna fight you. You're my kid. I'm not gonna beat you up. And that was it. It was like, and he called him a loser, and he's like, you were a deadbeat dad.
Smack him already.
Yeah, I know. But you know what, Dominic? You know, for all the criticism he's gotten, you got to also put into account that he's a kid. He's young. They threw him on front of national television. He wasn't in NXT. He didn't go by a different name. He didn't do any of that. They put him on TV. During a bad time, too, right? He came in during a pandemic.
Came in during the pandemic and right after, and I don't think the fans were connecting with what they were doing with him.
They were not connecting what they were doing with him.
Because the match was about his dad, never about him.
Well, he was supposed to turn on his dad a while ago. The plan was, like, WrestleMania 2 years ago? Possibly? I forgot when we first, or it could have been last year. I don't remember, but we had spoken about this. Now is the time to do it, which I think is a great timing, but Judgment Day has been the best thing to him. He feels comfortable with his ridiculousness. Yep. Rhea is so good. Fascinating.
Rhea is amazing.
WrestleMania Showcase qualifying match. You got Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez defeating Emma and Tegan Knox.
So they're running two four-ways at Mania.
Yes, one's a men's and one's a women's.
Yeah, one's a women's, just to get, I guess those are more or less just to get them on the show and kind of fill
out. You got to get that WrestleMania check, man. You got to get these people a check. So now we have the Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley segment. Okay, Rhea's the heel here, right? Obviously.
She's supposed to be, but they're trying their best to make Charlotte.
Do you also, like, I want her to kick the crap out of Charlotte, right? Is this unanimous? Like, do we all feel that we want Rhea to beat up Charlotte?
I think the majority of the fans want Rhea for sure.
It's so interesting because they're not really doing, like, Charlotte's not that bad. She's, you know, she's an established star and she's the world champion and they're treating it that way. But I think people just, they want that flair, for lack of a better term, that Rhea has. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question about this, because they did a pull apart and I thought the feud itself needed something and they did it.
Yeah.
But at this point, are pull aparts for you getting a little too much? Like, they're doing them too often. We're seeing them in both companies now. I was like, it's like, I got to get to these different, but I did like it. It's just,
yeah,
I wonder
too.
If maybe it's too oversaturated with them.
Yeah. I thought this was done well. Sometimes I feel like it's too much. Like when it goes too long, I get out of it. I'm like, okay, whatever. But they did a good job with this segment. I got to find out who produced it. I thought it was done well. Xavier Woods defeated LA Knight. So after the match, in like 2 minutes, right? It was 2 minutes and 18 seconds. After the match, LA Knight is doing like his, you know, he's just running his mouth in the back. And what did he say? He's like, if you're not going to slap your son, like, I'll go kick his ass and then I'll kick yours, you know, or something like that. And Ray just slapped him right across the face. And then he did an interview. So, all right, whatever.
And now we're getting that match next week.
We're getting that match next week. I do think they need to do something with LA Knight. We brought it up in the first segment of the show. When I was at that Garden show, they were going nuts for him. And
I don't know.
Listen,
you
could ask
what
why.
He's going to end up doing.
He does have something. He has something that you could work with. I think it's the attitude. I think my son likes him a lot. Comes out with the vest. He's doing, you know, it's like Stone Cold and The Rock fused into one dude. No, I'm not in a negative way. I'm saying in a positive way. I enjoy it. We also got a number one contenders match. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. Send it in a DQ.
This was really good.
Yeah, very good. They've done a good job with this.
You had a... And the DQ actually made sense. It wasn't just random, which it played into the whole story that Gunther wants a singles match with one of them, and he ended up costing himself that, and now he has to face them both at Mania.
So now at the end, we got the showdown. Match. We got Sami Zayn confronting Jey Uso. Pretty much Jey was like, yo, you're not my brother. You think I was going to pick you? And walk us through this, MG. You got 30 seconds.
He hits him.
Yeah, loved it.
And he was like, he cleared the ring. He looked at him, and I was like, oh, man, he's playing this up. And then he turned around and ran towards Sammy and hugged him, and the crowd lost their minds.
They freaking minds. So well done.
They built it up so well to that ending. And people were like, when are they going to finally get them together? And then they show Cody, and that's the meme that's going around now. Cody on the screen
on the monitor,
looking at him. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very well done. I thought it was a very cool moment. And now, you know, it's culminating, right? This is the match now. You're going to get the Usos versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. What a great moment for them to win the titles.
So where would you place that on the card? Because a lot of people are saying that should be the main event of Night 1.
Yeah, you know, I guess. I mean, that could be the match. It could be the main event. It could be, you know, semi-main. I don't know. That's a good question. Does it bother me? No, not really. I'm also going to be very tired by the end of that show.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have to go to a quick break. I do think that this is all very good stuff. I'm happy with how they've presented this. Very cool. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live, final segment of the show here on Sports Byline. Yeah, man, that was very cool with Sami Zayn and what they've done with the Bloodline and Kevin and now Cody. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. We're only, 2 weeks away? We're 2 weeks away from this thing. I can't believe we're here again. This year went by so fast. Very, we'll see, and then we'll see the fallout of this. They generally, you know, I'm curious who the first opponent or first two opponents for Cody will be. It's going to be very telling. You think they'll do something like Kane?
I think we're going to Solo.
We're going
like
to Solo, and then
I think
Gunther needs a push.
Stuff.
Yeah, we need Gunther to have something. You could go back to him and Sammy. Him and Kevin. Him and Drew, you know, these are going to be some big main events he's going to have. And I think he'll do great. I'm very hopeful of it. You also had some quick notes here. GCW Championship changed. Nick Gage lost to Masha Slamovich. First of all, the greatest of 90s heel video game wrestling names. Masha Slamovich. So their two singles championships are both held by women in that company.
And who, it works for them.
Who
works.
Has the other one? Who has the ultra?
Rina Yamashita.
Rina has the ultra-violent title, and Masha Slamovich now has the world title, GCW championship. Very cool stuff, guys. Next week we're going to be back with the show. I will have my guest on next week. I had to move things around today. But next week, my guest will be with us. We'll break down everything that happened in professional wrestling and a whole lot more here on Wrestling Observer Live. See you next week. Take care.